One. Well,
that was a crazy fight, wasn't it?
That was probably exceeded all expectations, that fight, that card.
Well, we had pretty high expectations for this fight card, but that was mad. That was insane.
That was the fight card for, if there was any name that could give it, it was leg kicks and second round KOs.
Oh, and submissions.
And submissions, yeah.
That was mad. Yeah, all right, Izzy.
Well, let's just tell the fans what we did. We just got back from watching UFC 253.
Yeah, we watched at the pub. We enjoy watching the pub. You get a bit of pub grub, some good burgers. You got a palmy, good food. managed to get a good spot. It was the second venue because we went to a different venue. It was stacked. It was already 2 hours before the main event.
Yeah, and I was surprised.
It was mad. And then we went to a different pub, and okay, that was good. Adesanya, incredible fight. He knocked out Paulo Costa in the second round.
Expecting that.
I was expecting Izzy to win by decision. I wasn't. I expected Costa to be so durable because of his fight with Romero. He took so many shots from Romero. I thought it was interesting that Costa, and we knew he's fought two out of the top 15 fighters, but he's been fast-tracked to a title fight. We knew he'd never been in a five-round fight ever, so we did question his cardio. It looked like he came out on the first round. He was kind of biding his time.
He was taunting him.
He was taunting him, but he was looking after his gas tank as well. He wasn't doing a whole lot.
No. He was even just... A lot of the times, he was just trying to show that Adesanya's attacks were weak, really. Mm. Every time he hit him or kicked him, he would just, like, pretend to stumble or stick his hands behind his back, or he was, like, trying to point to him, yeah, let's go here, let's go here. It was just... I was like, man, what are you doing? I thought he was going to charge at him. That's what I thought, but it didn't. And it kind of just showed that Adesanya, he went out there, he had a goal in mind. He didn't care about anything else. He didn't care about, you know, the intro or the music, or didn't give a shit about putting on like a, you know, showcase. The only thing he cared about was going out there and just winning that fight, which he did in tremendous fashion. He absolutely showed that he was the superior striker, and that in the end, precision does beat power.
We did see that, because I did say Paulo's not known for having this crazy knockout power. It's the volume of strikes that a lot of people curl up and huddle up under that pressure that he presents. But we did see in round three against Romero, he started to fade a good bit. So when everyone's expecting Costa to fucking run through Izzy, I just didn't think it was going to be the case, because, you know, it was a tough fight for Izzy, but Izzy, he's too dynamic. That 8-inch reach advantage was huge. He's 2 inches even taller. The amount of fight Stylebender's done. Stylebender, that was his 100th fight. That's mad. Huge props to Adesanya.
And he's only 32. He's in his prime right now.
31, I think.
31. Yeah, 31. He's in his prime right now. He's saying, oh, I'm 31, I look like I'm 26. He's right. Exactly. He does look like he's 26.
Well, he said even after the fight, he's already looking for the next fight. And he was talking about Jerry Cannonier versus Robert Whittaker. Now, he's already beat Robert Whittaker.
Mm-hmm.
Although Robert Whittaker, before he got snapped by Izzy, he had something like a 7-fight win streak or something like that. So, interesting to see that Robert Whittaker beat Darren Till last fight, which was a very technical, chess match. But now Robert Whittaker is going to fight Jerry Cannonier soon. I think it's this year, actually. I'll have to double check.
He's fighting on the he's fighting on the Justin Gaethje versus Khabib.
UFC 254.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's going to be a good fight. But the thing is, all props to Jared Cannonier, but if he beats Robert Whittaker, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and then he goes on to fight Izzy, I don't think he's anywhere near Izzy's level.
No.
I think if Izzy's just going to be, it might be an easy fight for Jared, and then he clears out the division.
What did I say though in the car? I said everyone is going to jump back on Stylebender's dick now.
And well, pretty much everyone is jumping.
Everyone's back on the Stylebender train, because you know, they hopped off during Yoel Romero, and then they said, oh, he's shit. All he does is run. Even like the music they used for the UFC promo was Run For Your Life.
Yeah.
Shit like that. So it was almost like they were kind of like even just hinting that he's going to be trying to run away and just pick shots against Paulo. But he fucked up Paulo. He fucked up his front leg.
He fucked up his face. It looked like
Paulo had already got some cupping done on his calves beforehand. Probably because he knew he was going to get fucked up in his calf. Those calf kicks are huge in MMA. And he was... It wasn't just one kind of kick. He was...
He took 20 in the first round.
20. And he was using a huge amount of a variety of kicks. He was going for the inside left kick. Then he was going on the outside. Then he would stomp on the knee. Mm. He would do all kinds of different techniques. Just to batter his knee. You could see the different marks on his leg. And then it probably made it quite difficult for him to load up and... kind of like close that distance with his front leg. So, and then in the second round, boom, catches him just above the ear.
That was one hell of a kick, and it stumbled him, and then he knocked him down, and then he just
banged it down. Was that punch that really wobbled him though?
Yeah, it was a knock. I think it was a left hook to the temple.
It was at the very back. So
yeah.
So just above his ear and maybe a tiny bit back. Yeah. Perfectly legal. Both that soft spot there.
Yeah, he got him. He clipped him hard.
Yeah.
And not even that, but once the whole fight we got, in terms of attempted strikes, he had 8. Israel Adesanya had 84.
Mm-hmm.
Paulo Costa only had 26. 55 of those strikes.
Which is funny because Costa is known to have like a more of a high...
Yeah.
He had a higher output rate, statistically speaking, again, before the fight against Adesanya. He had a much higher striking differential than Adesanya, but, we had picked Izzy for winning because, Costa had only fought 2 of the top 15.
Yeah.
Do I think he can definitely hang in the top 5?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right? But... I just didn't think he was on his level. Also, just because of the reach advantage.
Yes.
Izzy's on enough. He has so much experience in the cage, in the octagon. But what I was possibly thinking was the wild card was if Paulo Costa started to go back to his old grappling ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he never. Although, if you're going to do that for 5 rounds. Be prepared because that's going to gas him even quicker than normal striking.
Yeah. Well, what I've got to say is we can't count Costa out just yet.
No. Because do you know who called out Costa?
Yeah.
Who? Derek Brunson.
Ooh.
Straight afterwards, Derek Brunson said, Costa, are you down to fight again?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, what I'm going to say is let's just talk about Costa for a second. When he lost on The Ultimate Fighter, Brazil. And then after that, he just turned into an absolute machine. He was constantly in the gym. He was first man in, last man out. He was always putting in the work. You know, even all the coaches were surprised by how much his work ethic, And I feel like that's what Costa kind of just needs to do right now. He just needs to go back to the drawing board, but maintain that intensity, or hell, he can't even increase it because I don't want people calling him out just yet. He's still a really exciting fighter to watch. And I can tell by a look on his face when he lost, he was like, yeah, he'd been defeated, but he took it really well.
Yeah.
And he's like, shook his hand, and now I believe that Costa's going to come back even stronger.
He's going to come back tougher.
I think he's...
So one of them had to lose their... Oh, this was the second time ever in the middleweight division. The first time was Lyoto Machida versus... Was it Rashad Evans? No. Anyway, this is the second time. I've got to fact check myself, but this is the second time there's been a championship fight in the middleweight division where both people have been undefeated.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yes.
So, is he still undefeated? He's never grabbed an L.
Well, he's now 4 fights away. He's now on a 9 fight winning streak. And Anderson Silva's winning streak in the middleweight division was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's 4 fights away from that winning streak, basically. I reckon the issue right now is just finding the right fighters for Izzy. Because,
There's a lot still out there. I just want to quickly bring up something.
Yeah, go on.
Derek Brunson, right after the fight, said, Borachin MMA, tough break. What are you doing December 12th? Let's dance. And then he... tagged Dana White, McMahon, and Ali Abdulaziz. He also said, I'll make it very clear, I've made rocky mistakes that cost me big fights. I'm here to reach my max. I had all intentions of asking for the loser of the title fight. I need to win against a top three to reach my goals. The time is now. Hashtag righting my wrongs tour.
Oh, wow. Okay. Damn, that's a... I can definitely... Well, I can see it happening.
I can see it happening. We're always watching his social media and he's always training. So...
Yeah, well, here's the thing I noticed. When it comes to, like, these fights now, just the mad tweets that go out straight away afterwards or before each fight. I mean, there's just so much information that literally just comes out of one card. Yo, John Jones is a mad tweet. He's got mad tweets.
Speaking of John Jones, light heavyweight fight today. Jan Błachowicz knocked out Reyes again in the round two.
Holy crap. Dude, I got put up footage of us literally just screaming.
I know my girlfriend told me over the phone and she was like and she was just like, I saw what Joe put up on your social media. I was like, what was it? And she said, oh, it was you. If it was both of you guys going,
we're losing our shit. Well, I didn't think it was going to happen like that. We both had Reyes to win.
I had Reyes to win. Did I think it was going to be a close fight? Hell yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't think Reyes was going to lose like that.
Shit.
Fuck.
I didn't know Jan was 37.
Me neither.
Damn, he doesn't look that old.
He looks great for 37.
He looks great for 37.
You know, it just proves that some of these guys, age really is just a number with some of them.
It might even just be experience in the cage because, you know, that in the octagon because, you know, there's Stipe and Daniel Cormier, some of the best out there. And they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
So...
Well, what I can say is Jan's Polish power is alive and well in that left hand. That left hand. Hook that
another
he gave
guy him. That used to be more of a grappler.
Yeah, well, it's like one thing that was crazy is that his striking, his power is real. Like, it's off the charts. Remember after the first round, he gave him Reyes that massive body kick, and then you pointed out.
I said immediately afterwards. I said, watch his side.
Yeah.
And you could see it started to bubble and get purple and darker and darker, and eventually it was just after one kick. Was just this big mess on his side.
Yeah, it was just
crazy.
Well, and then I showed you a photo afterwards. And I was like, "Fuck!" It was all red, and then over that. But I think he broke his nose too.
I think he broke his nose with one of the
He hit him with a straight right. Then Reyes was carrying. Then he was trying to get back into the corner, and then Jan just came out with a flurry of punches.
I think it was a left hook.
Yeah, then it was a left hook that knocked him down.
Not a left hook. Left hook knocked out Luke Rockhold.
There you go. That left hand of Jan's.
And you just saw him wobble. And, you know, it seemed like he was conscious, but just didn't have... He just wasn't there. His legs gave out, and he was just... You know, it happens to all of them. Don Reyes, 12-1. Now he's 12-2. He's like, look, he's one of the best out there in the light heavyweight division. Some people said if he did beat Jan, it would have been technically his first light heavyweight title defense, because a lot of people said, oh, I believe he beat John Jones. I believe he's the true light heavyweight champion. It was really funny because John Jones actually just tweeted and he went and said, mind if I go down to light heavyweight and just get my belt back real quick.
Oh, God, that would stick. Well, that's the thing, though. Jan, he never fought, so...
Jan looks huge for light heavyweight.
He looks like massive.
He looks like a heavyweight like Francis Ngannou. He has a similar body like that.
He was real. We were saying that right at the front. He looks like a big dude. But the other thing I've got to point out is we weren't really expecting Reyes to go down that way. But now that the light heavyweight division has a new champion, what potentially could be next is that Thiago Santos was the last person to beat Jan. Now, we know Jan is fighting... Sorry, now we know Thiago Santos is fighting Glover Teixeira.
Yeah.
When is that? It's coming up.
It got rescheduled. I think it might be in November.
Yeah. So, if Santos beats...
Because they got coronavirus.
There you go. If Santos beats Teixeira, then that could be the first title defense for Jan.
That would be a huge fight because Santos versus Jones was a very close fight as well. Arguably could have been a more incredible fight if Santos didn't damage his knee in the earlier portion of the fight and still fought on smashing Jones with those leg kicks. I'd love to see that fight. I'm really excited, and Glover Teixeira is no slouch as well. He's coming off a win against Anthony Smith. Actually, I want to bring up something about Anthony Smith. Johnny Walker, we know that he won last week, and he actually called out Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith just lost, and Anthony Smith fired back and he said, "I'll beat the fuck out of you."
Oof.
Yeah, so interesting to see that. Johnny Walker got handed his loss against, was it Corey Anderson? Corey Anderson's not in the UFC anymore, but like, you know, interesting. It is an interesting time in the light heavyweight division.
Yeah, well, it's alive and well. That's all I can say, because we got the rise of Alexander Rakic as well. Keep eyes on him, because now that he's the champion, he's got a long road ahead of him if he wants to stay champion. Because below him, he's got Thiago, he's got Rakic, he's got he's got Anthony Smith. Hell, maybe if Johnny Walker rises up again. I'm just saying, I mean, light heavyweight, that division does not fuck around.
No.
Jan now is at the top of the hill, and now he's got to fight the wolves at his door. That's all I can say, really, for him.
There's another one I want to bring up, and it's Kai Kara France, who's Izzy's teammate. He unfortunately lost again, round two. This seems to be a day for round two shit.
Yeah.
But he got finished via submission by Brandon Royval, and that was by guillotine. So they were having a competitive fight, very competitive, a really fun round one.
Yeah, right off the bat, they came out swinging.
I must say, a lot of people were saying that Kai's like stance was a bit like basic and that, but I thought he did very well. Just Brandon Royval, he's something to watch. He's got very unorthodox striking.
Yeah.
He changes stances, but he'll kick to your leg, hit over the top, and then kick the leg again. And he does a lot of unorthodox stuff that people don't.
He does a lot of feints.
He does a huge amount of feints, and he said he comes out of he's a brawler.
Yeah.
You know, that's how he was more introduced. So I would like to look a little bit more into his background, but he actually said, I don't want to ask for a top five fight, even though he does deserve one. Because he said, I've got a lot of things to work on. I think a lot of people just mentioned he's got something to work on defensively.
I think he's very humble.
And fuck yeah, he did really well.
I think he's also got one of the coolest names in all of, what is it?
Raw
he's
Dog.
Raw Dog.
I did say...
because he does have a lot of things.
It's probably Darren Till's favourite fighter now.
Yeah. Hashtag
Raw Dog.
Yeah. All I was going to say is he does have a lot of things to work on, but it's good for him now because he's young. Mm-hmm. He's only 28, you know.
Oh, something I want to bring up. Conor McGregor versus Manny Pacquiao. Now, it was more a bit of speculation. Conor even said out, I'm fighting Manny. We're under the same kind of like management kind of promotion thing. Manny confirmed today, his people confirmed that they are actually in talks with Conor McGregor, but it hasn't been set. It hasn't been set, and they did say Middle East. It looks like Middle East 2021, and that the money that is raised will go to people in like the Philippines and things like that.
That's crazy. I agree with this. I mean, I think it'll be great. Well, not even that, but people, we gotta keep an eye on boxing for a moment. All the legends are coming back. We got Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. All of a sudden, we got Nate Robinson, we got Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul.
Yeah, but those aren't legends.
We got a lot of money fights coming up, and legends as well.
They bring a lot of casuals to the boxing,
and a lot of old school boxing fans. Like, we got Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson. And then we're going to all of a sudden have Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather, gets paid off, if we actually get his contract signed, proof of that, I'd be surprised. And then we got all of a sudden Manny Pacquiao versus Conor McGregor. Oh my, what is going on? Who's next? I mean, what legend's going to come back next?
Look, I don't know. I really am not too sure. It was strange to see that Conor McGregor, after he beat Donald Cerrone, he leaked his own Instagram messages with Dana saying, I'd like to fight Diego sometime in May or something like that. And Dana went and said,
nah.
We should lose our license if we promote a fight like that. And a lot of people said, like, when they said, do you reckon Conor felt bad after watching fucking Diego's fight that year? Diego Sanchez, he was the first UFC fighter I ever watched.
We love him, by the way.
We
love his history. He's got a war against Gilbert Menendez. You know, he's had fights against Guido. You know, that was probably two of the biggest.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a UFC legend.
Absolutely.
38 years old. I think they were talking about today he's had an accumulation of 6 hours in the octagon across his fights, which is insane. So he fought Jake Matthews, who is a Victorian, well, he's an Australian, he comes from Victoria, fighter, and, you know, watched that fight. It was a competitive match, but Diego didn't look the same. I think a lot of people, I think Arahuani actually said, and I'll bring it up, he went and said, it's difficult. Everyone loves him, but it's difficult to watch him now because he's not the same.
Yeah, he's like, he's a win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Like, he beat Michael Pereira, but he lost to Michael Chase, so then he's also beaten Mickey Gall, and then he beat White, and then he lost to Brown. You know, it's just going down back to the rankings. It's like he win one, lose one, win one, we lose one. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he can find a sort of, he hasn't been on a streak for quite some time. So, you know, he's still loved by everyone. He's always going to be remembered for his wars. But I think maybe it's coming to the end of the line for him. It's coming to the end of the line. It's just because he's sustained so much damage over those years, and he's already cemented himself in history books as one of the all-time most enjoyable fighters to watch. But it's not like he's going to be running around for a title shot anytime soon, especially when he's this late in his career.
It does bring up something difficult, because even though you love a fighter, when can they properly retire? Because he's still got quite a few fights on his contract left. I think he's still got another 3 or 4. I think he's got 4 more fights left on his contract. And he said he wanted to fight Conor McGregor on his last one. Look, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Diego, because, you know, he was one of my favorite fighters, but now he's like, I don't know. He's not the same. He's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, he really isn't the same. He looks slow.
Yeah.
He doesn't look the same.
He took a lot of damage. He was bleeding pretty heavily. And like by the end of that last round, I could tell there's a little bit of a look in his eyes. He's just like, okay.
Do you know the Twitter account Mac Malley MMA?
No.
He always posts funny shit, and he went in there. It says Diego Sanchez, I can't land a strike out there, coach. And Fabio, who is his coach, went and said, "Have you tried realigning your chakras?" Did you actually see that? Diego's coach would run around with different fighters with a knife. I don't know if he had a knife or he was pretending it to be a knife, but he would run around them. And I don't know what that was, to make them maybe fearful of strikes and then to be more dynamic and run up and, you know, be more elusive. But I don't know, I really hope there wasn't an actual knife. That's stupid as fuck. Alright, dude, third time you've played a fucking ad during the podcast.
Dude, I try to get up some stats here and just go straight to a bloody ad. Oh, anyway, fuck.
Jesus, fuck.
Sorry, dude, keep going.
One thing that was interesting, though, is he also said this in the post-fight conference, but he also said it directly after his fight with Paulo. He said, oh, is it Paulo or Paulo? Paulo Costa. He went and said, you know, it's a bit bullshit how my teammate fights someone who misses weight. He loses 30% of his purse. He gets 90, he gets something, I think it's about a minute, an hour and a half, like 90 minutes to see if they can lose that extra weight and then come back and reweigh themselves on the scales to meet the fighting weight. And he said that's bullshit, because they're essentially cheating, because they're going to go back and they're not going to give a fuck. They're just going to, oh yeah, 30%. I don't really give a fuck. I do this. I don't do this for my team.
Dude, the fucking ads just playing.
I know, sorry. Can you mute?
So I'm just going to have to stay off the fucking internet for now.
No, right, just now. Mute your laptop.
Mute my laptop.
You don't need volume.
Okay.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
You were saying? Yeah, keep going.
All right. Izzy went and said, you know, that's kind of bullshit. And he's got a point. Like, 30% of your loss of your pay, if you get the win bonus or, you know, you get the performance of the night, then does it really matter? Probably not. He said, it's not, the system's not really working. I do agree. They should, you know, the proper incentive is to take a lot more of their money and say, you'll lose 90% of your money if you don't make weight. They'll fucking do it. You won't fuck up fights, or you won't have people like not making weight and then not getting a title fight. Yeah. Having a title fight but not having the belt on the line, which is bullshit, by the way. Why have a title fight?
Yeah, well, 90 minutes is a long time in a sauna to lose a lot of
By that time, you know, yes, it's rough. It's hard as to lose that weight. Mm. But you have a lot of time to lead up to that fight. Yeah. Dieting.
Unless they come in on an early call, you know, like Jorge Masvidal did. That just even proves there's no excuse. Because
he had 6 days.
Yeah, and he made weight. Yeah, but
that's still... his guts, but his mental, I think.
Yeah, well, it just shows that you just got to, like, do proper nutrition, you know, proper guidance when it comes to losing the weight.
I know.
I know it will affect training, but but at the end of the day, what does all that training mean if you can't fight properly according to the rules on the day?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know, dude. Oh, something I do want to bring up. Next week, we've got Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. Now, you know, Holly has been around for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
I think everyone remembers her from the Ronda Rousey fight when she gave her Ronda Rousey's first loss. She's fighting Irene Aldana. Irene Aldana is, she's got very crisp boxing.
Yes.
Very quick combinations. You know, quite a dynamic striker as well. That's an interesting fight. What were you thinking? Is that's next week? I think that's the 4th of October. What were you thinking?
Well, it's just Holly Holm seems to just not be able to catch a break. I mean, we all remember her as the girl who knocked down Ronda Rousey. And then she had her hype stolen by, she had her hype stolen by, Misha Tate.
Mm.
So then again, it's a case again of win one, lose one, because she lost her Di Randamie, which was, by the way, a terrible fight. It was very unfair because she hit her twice after the belt. Everyone was booing her. And then she won against Kushira. She lost to Cyborg, and then she won against Anderson, and she lost to Nunes, and then she just recently won against Pennington at the beginning of this year. So again, it's a case of win one, lose one, win one, lose one. You got to understand. But the thing is, she is a multiple world time boxing and kickboxing champion, female kickboxing champion. So her striking is still considered phenomenal, off the charts, and everything she's done for combat sports in general. It's just to see where she's in a very awkward position in the UFC. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And I kind of want her to, I want her to win this one because she's second in the women's bantamweight division. And I don't know, maybe she's the one who takes down the legends. You know, she took down Ronda Rousey. So maybe she might get a rematch with Amanda Nunes and maybe not lose in the first round and maybe try and take it the distance, be a little bit more calculated. And then could potentially be probably one of the only people left to at least give Nunes a run for her money. But that's really all I can say. Well,
the interesting thing is they both have something in common, and that's that they both had fairly recent fights with Raquel Pennington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Irene Aldana, she lost to Raquel Pennington via split decision, whereas Holly Holm, that was her most recent fight, which she won at UFC 246. You know, prior to that, she fought Amanda Nunes, and we all know Amanda Nunes, absolute goat. You know, she got KO'd by a head kick and punches up following that. It is an interesting thing to think about. I mean, one thing that does come to mind is we watched Ketlin, I don't know how you say her name, it's Ketlin Vieira. She was fighting Sajara Eubanks today. Mm-hmm. And she did very well against Sajara Eubanks. I think all the cards were 29-28 unanimous decision. Did very well. Aldana, her last fight was at UFC 245, and she beat Vieira, and she KO'd her in the first round. So very, very interesting things to think about. Obviously, MMA math doesn't fucking work. It really doesn't. Going back and forth, like, who beat this person? But this person beat this person.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work. Personally, I don't know who I sway towards the most. Irene, she's in her prime. She's 32, whereas Holly Holm's been around for, you know, she's around for a good bit. You know, she's 38 now.
Yeah.
So there's a time where Holly Holm was one of the very best in the UFC.
Yeah, well, I can say for a woman of 38, she looks insane. She's like shredded.
She's shredded.
Shredded to the bone and all that. So
massive shoulders, huge broad back and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good
fight. I don't know who to pick yet. I really don't. I will think about it a little bit more.
Here's what I think. Holly Holm, 38, okay. You know, been around fighting for a long, long time. Beats Aldana. Because if you think, because in terms of the rankings, Holly Holm is, I believe, second on the. She's second. So underneath, in terms of the bantamweight division, it's Jermaine de Randamie.
Yeah.
So Holly Holm maybe gets a rematch of Jermaine de Randamie when a fight some Nunes. Holly Holm's last shot at the title. Fair enough.
Something I did want to bring up though, because this got tweeted very recently while we were doing this. Jan Blachowicz, she actually said if John Jones doesn't want his belt back, he'll defend it against Thiago Santos.
There you go.
Next. Mm-hmm. So I think even Jan Blachowicz is expecting Thiago Santos to beat Glover Teixeira.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone's reacting to Johnny Bones Jones saying that, you know, mind if I dip back to light? I think he's fucking joking.
Yeah.
I think he looks bulked up as fuck right now. Yeah. All those pictures when he's training. I think he's really on that road to heavyweight. And I think he's going to be a heavyweight for at least a couple fights.
Yeah, he wants a piece.
I don't think he's dropping down to light heavyweight yet.
Yeah, he's going to want a piece. I'm looking forward to it. We haven't yet to... Here's the thing. I feel like the last big blockbuster fight of this year is going to be Gaethje versus Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
So... after that, I reckon some point around December or November, when what will happen is the last recorded fight by the UFC is 254 Gaethje versus Khabib, right? Which is 24th of October. I reckon some point in the end of October or early November, Dana White's going to announce 2021's fights. The only issue still right now is coronavirus in terms of travel.
It makes it so difficult for you to start organizing fights because there's no crowd, and sometimes these big names like Conor, McGregor, and things like that, sometimes they only really want to, they like, both parties only really want to fight if there's a crowd. Like, they only want to fight when there's a crowd involved because that means more money in their pockets.
Yeah. Sorry, pardon me. So, I reckon at some point Dana White's going to announce the 2021 fights. Conor McGregor's obviously going to be up in that card. And then I reckon we're going to find a new Adesanya fight, because by then, Jared Cannonier will fight Robert Whittaker. So I reckon a whole bunch of things is getting ready to be announced. But I feel like Khabib versus Gaethje is that one last big shot, or one or second last big fight card to finish off the end of the year. But potentially what's in store right now is that when this UFC is basically... like after Khabib versus Gaethje, everyone's going to be focusing a lot on the boxing, because don't forget, we got Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3. The trilogy's coming up.
Yeah.
And then we got Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. And then what's next, really? I mean, it's been a big year for fighting. Above every sport that lost, UFC, boxing, sort of stay on top. More UFC.
Yeah, Whittaker versus Cannonier is set for October 25th. So what date's today? The 27th. So yeah. It's next month.
Next month.
Pretty much next month. October 25th, Sunday. So that's going to be a really good fight as well. I think I'll pick someone closer to the date. I don't know who. It seems like a very close fight because it was a very competitive fight against Darren Till that Robert Whittaker presented, but I'm not too sure at this point. I'm really not too sure. Something I did want to bring up though. It was your birthday last week, so happy birthday.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, sorry. but it's been the second time now because you liked the gift quite a bit, so you went back again.
Yeah.
I got you a float tank thing because you talked about you really wanted to try it and things like that. I guess you liked it because you went yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, the first time I did it was, it was a bit strange because I'm not ADHD or anything, but most of my life is just me constantly going forward, like go. The only time I really slop or slow down is when I go to sleep, really. So when I was in the float tank, it felt different to be just stopping and slowing down. It was because I have cochlear implants because I lost my hearing when I was 3. I couldn't hear anything in the tank, obviously.
Yeah.
So when I was sitting and laying in there, I had all these paintball shots all over my body and I had to put Vaseline all over it.
You're not allowed to get any blood into the tank because all the Epsom salts in it, because someone comes in and it's perfectly safe because there's so much salt in there.
Yeah.
It'll probably kill anything in there.
Yeah.
But you've got to jump. Someone else is going to jump in after you, which is a bit gross to see blood moving around.
So my body stung for a good 15 minutes.
Get in your eyes?
Yeah, I had to get a towel, wipe my eyes. So the first 20 minutes took a while for me to calm down. And then I got into some weird state where it was just me and everything was just so quiet and I was trying so hard just not to move and let myself just focus on my breathing. And that was the first time. There's always these different colours. It's kind of hard to remember because time goes by really quickly when you're into some sort of state where it's just you and your thoughts alone. So the first time I did it was where all these bright colours were on, I had the headrest and I had a little bit of the tank open. The time I did yesterday was with no lights on whatsoever, the tank completely closed.
Yeah.
Again, focusing on breathing. I think it was better for the first time I did it. Well, it was just the effect was different. The first time I did it, I came out, it was like that scene from X-Men Origins Wolverine when he gets all that adamantium injected into it. Just rah, coming out of that thing. It was like a massive recovery. I ran back to the gym, hit the bag for a good 30 minutes. And then it was good. I felt great. But when I came out of it yesterday, I was just like, okay, just chill, just done. And just slow, walking around, just being very, very calm. It was a lot more peaceful. I didn't really just sat. I went to mate's house afterwards, just sat on the couch for a little bit, had a talk, but it wasn't like there was anything that was on. There was a lot of things that have been on my mind lately that I don't want to talk about on the podcast, a lot of things that have been happening. But going inside that pod, it kind of just eliminated all those thoughts and just made me just focus on just being there in the moment. Yeah. And I think that's why it was so good, because when you're in the pod, you're not thinking about, you got to think about bills, you got to play, or you got to think about things you've got to do. You're just thinking about your breathing and being in the moment and just trying to relax. And that's why I think they're really good.
Because I did one originally. I think my family got me to do it because they've been talking about it. And I did it. I didn't get any, because you said you got crazy kind of visions and things like this.
Yeah, well, that was the first time. It was weird because it kind of gave me a glimpse into the future. Also, possible, I don't know. It was a little bit hard to... maybe it's just what I wanted to believe. I mean, maybe it was just I wanted to think of myself. So maybe it gave me a way for me to influence my... The tank allowed me to sort of influence myself or give myself... allow myself to think about the future or how I want it to look.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just that ability to calm down, and I felt like it actually healed me, because I remember it was a time that week I hadn't really slept that much and it felt like an hour nap or a short nap in that day, and it healed me up. And it kind of brought me up, my sort of recharged me a little bit. That's all I can say.
Right. See, with me, I didn't really get a whole lot of visions, but I got clarity, and your sense of time is so far, so off. Sense of time is so strange in a float tank. It's very... Because they go for an hour. They go on for an hour. They give you a bit of music beforehand. It's like 10 minutes of music. The lights are on. Then it's about 40 minutes. Lights off and music is off. And then you've got 10 minutes and that's supposed to bring you back out. And then you get out. We got really cool showers with a shit ton of really...
And the showers are dope.
I used all the soap.
Yeah, me too.
All the complimentary soap. All the nice... Smells so good. I smell like a fruit garden afterwards. It was brilliant. From my experience, I didn't get... It is almost like a trance state, but it's like clarity and calm. And I think the normal kind of anxiousness or kind of like erraticness of your mind, erratic nature of your mind is going on. It kind of like dissipates that. It's also really cool just floating in the water. But I have long hair, so I have to put it... I've learned for next time, I have to make sure I put it up in one of those things a bit tighter, because some of it came out in the tank, and I came out, and I tried to put my hand through it, and the salt had dehydrated my hair so much, it was so thick, I couldn't put my hand through it. It was pretty gross. But, like, you know, it was a really interesting experience. It's like a trance, but it's more like very calm. You're not sleeping, but it's like a relaxing trance where it shuts off a lot of your senses. You know, it's shut off your... If you don't have the light on, you've shut off your visual perception, your visual sensory system.
You're in a state of serenity. That's the best way to put it.
A bit like that, yeah. Yeah. You've turned off your... you can't really smell except for the salt. You can't really hear anything, especially when you close the lid.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear anything. You can't really touch anything. You won't really feel anything except the water, but because it's salt and salty water and you're just floating there, you don't really feel much either. So it's turned off a lot of your senses, and you can kind of, you just focus on your breath and chilling out, thinking about what goes on that day. I know I had something going on that day, and like, it was pissing me off, and I was able to just like think more clearly and be like, why am I being upset about it?
Yeah.
And then I got out and I was more chill, and I had a nice shower afterwards, and I felt it was nice. It was like because it was a really hot day that day I did it, and I went in and it's nice and cool, and there's a nice shower, and the pod's nice and it's not hot and it's not cold. It's up to you. It's your skin temperature, so you can't feel anything, and you're nice and buoyant, so you feel nothing. It is a really cool experience. I do recommend anyone to go in a float tank when you like. It's just like it's different. The best way you can explain it is kind of like a really calm experience where you can be with your thoughts, but also your thoughts aren't as erratic. They're more calm and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It's nothing insane. Obviously, both of us don't do it with any drugs, but obviously, some people, you know, they take psychedelics or smoke some weed beforehand. They jump in a float tank. I don't know if I'd ever do that, but it was good enough just on its own. I think it was brilliant.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we finish up?
Wrap it up. So we're gonna do another hour soon. Don't know when. But I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you do get this far through the podcast, I really appreciate it. If you can like, comment, anything, on our Instagram, we've got The Last Set Podcast, Twitter, _ The Last Set, YouTube, we're The Last Set Podcast.
Yep.
Anything, please subscribe, like anything you can, just as much support as you can give, if you do enjoy the podcast and the content we make.
Well, we're going to say here right now, and Jack, today we've officially done 20 episodes of The Last Set.
Yeah.
We officially achieved, we set a goal out, just a few months back when we started, like, how many podcasts would you like to think we could do before the end of the year?
I said 20.
A good 20. A 20 was a healthy goal. We've still got 3 months left to go of the year. So I reckon 20,
we've been doing it for 3 months. Yeah, we're doing it. This is 20 in 3 months. We've got another 3 months to go. I don't know if we'll get 40 done, but I think maybe...
A good 30.
Another 30 or 35 I reckon we can get done pretty easily, because we've done, this is the 13th MMA hour, but the everyday hour would be our number 8 coming up.
Yes.
So we've done almost double in MMA hours. So if we increased a little bit on the everyday hours and the everyday content.
Yeah, well, it's just the thing is there's a lot. We pick and choose the content we want to talk about. And there's a lot of MMA content that comes out on the day. But there's so much content that comes out in what's going on in the real world. Some of it just doesn't really bother me much anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like we just need to start having more guests on here.
We're going to have more guests once we get more equipment and things like that. That'd be really fun. Want to get couches and shit like that.
Yeah. Well, we're on our way.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys, so much for listening, watching the YouTube videos, the Instagram clips I make and things like that. You know, yeah, it's all really appreciated. Thanks, guys.
Take care. All the best.
Thanks, guys.